in our life that we realize we, when we come to ask God to forgive us and to save us by the blood of Jesus, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for us upon the cross, was buried and raised again the third day, there's some things that happen immediately when we do that. First of all, your sins are forgiven, and praise God for them, and that we have that guilt removed from us, knowing that our sins are forgiven because Jesus paid the price for our sins. That's right now. That happens that very moment. Then another miracle happens, and that is that you become a child of God. Tremendous blessing. Tremendous honor and privilege of being a child of God. And that's not something that you wait 6 months and you go through all kinds of tests and growth to become. No, immediately at that point, you are a child of God. And then a miracle that we do not really fully understand and not use all, that happens right then at that very moment, and that is that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not after a period of time, but right then. And that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The comfort, the joy, the knowledge, the wisdom that He gives us, the power that's beyond our ability, that all begins right there. But as we realize the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to yield to the Holy Spirit and to obey the Holy Spirit is a growth, and it happens over a period of time. As we learn to serve Him, we learn to listen to His voice and recognize His voice, and as He works with us in that. Pardon me a minute. Now, those things happen right then when you're saved. Now, there's some things that we're to do, and that comes about as a growth, and where you learn to walk, you learn to speak, you learn to serve in this and be obedient to Him. Now, there's another event that happens immediately, and that is our old life, which the Bible refers to as an old man, dies and is buried. And we've been raised to live a new life in Christ Jesus. But with that happening then, there's some things that we must follow up with it and where we fail in that area. And I wish that most people would realize what they need to do. They think it's going to be automatic when it's not. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, we find the scripture teaches us here that something we're to do since we are a child of God. And that is in verse 24 of Ephesians 4, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put on the new man. Man, what a privilege it is, not only to be known as a child of God, but to have a new life. I wished it was automatic. If it was automatic, we wouldn't have to be having the program we're having now trying to get people to come in. We wouldn't have to worry about trying to get people to be faithful in Sunday school and in worship service. This place would be packed with those who are saved, and we wouldn't have enough room for them all. But it's not automatic. It's something that you've got to put on. There's something that you've got to do in putting on the new man. Well, the question comes to our mind then, how do we put on the new man? What are the steps that we're to take in accomplishing this marvelous privilege that we have of having a new man, a new life? Now, for you women, it'd be a new woman. For the men, it's a new man. So we're talking about a new person for our lives. Well, the most obvious thing is found in verse 22 of this chapter, of John chapter 4, to put on the new man, you must put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So the first thing to do, even though the old man died and is crucified with Christ, is buried, still yet we're slow about burying him. We're slow about putting the old man away. We want to keep the old man around for a while. We want to keep some of the things that we used to do and things that we were used to doing in the old corruptible way with the old man. And you can't put on the new man unless you put off the old man. And so this is something that we need to realize in working with that. This is described in Romans chapter 6. So if you look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, talking about what happens at the matter of our spiritual birth, and then what we must do following that in getting rid of the old man and putting on the new man. And so in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible tells us, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We have a new life to live. And yet, for some reason or another, we want to hold on to that old man, to that old life. We want to drag around that ungodliness. We want to carry on those things that destroy us and destroy those around us. Why in the world do we want to hold on to that? We've got a new life, and now by the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that old life can be crucified, buried with Jesus. In verse 5, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, let me, in your mind's eye, take you back to that time of the New Testament, and where that the punishment, the capital punishment for sins and certain crimes, is to be crucified. Now, that type of death, that type of capital punishment today would be declared inhuman. It would, laws would be passed that you couldn't do that. In fact, we have laws stating that you can't crucify someone. See? And that it's a slow death. It's an agonizing death. Now, can't you just see that the path that normally they take to go up to the hill where looked like a skull and where they would crucify the criminals? Can't you see an old boy that's going to be crucified? He's just going along and said, "Hallelujah, man, I'm fixing to be crucified. I'm real happy that I'm going to be crucified." And just smiling at everybody go up. Well, no, they fight every step. They're still screaming, "I'm innocent. I haven't done that." They don't want to be crucified. They fight every moment they have. Even today, with any type of capital punishment, those who are to have that are fighting it tooth and toenail. Our old man doesn't go away easy. Our old life doesn't go away easy. It's not just going down the way and say, "Boy, I'm glad to get rid of that person. I'm glad I'm no longer serving in his body." No, still trying to hold on. And so our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's not going to happen immediately. That's going to happen over a period of time. And so we find that in putting on the new man, we've got to put off the old man involved with that. Look at verse 11 of this chapter, of Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed into sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not..." Now, if this would happen automatically, it wouldn't have that "let not" in there. "Let not" means this is something that you must do. "Let not sin therefore reign." That means you are not to let sin have control. Now, you can't keep sin out of your life. It's going to come in one way or another, but you have the ability now in the power of God and by the instructions of God to repent of your sins, to say no, to flee from sin, not be in the presence of sin. My, there's so many things, but we find ourselves wanting to wade in the muddy pool of sin and then say that, "Why aren't you keeping me clean, Lord?" And that we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield. That's your choice. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now, as a lost person, they don't have much of a choice. They're bound by sin. Sin has control of their life. As a saved person, now we can have a new life. Now, sin doesn't reign in our life unless we allow it. Let not sin reign in your life. That decision is made by you. You're to put on the new man, and to get the new man on, you're not to let sin have control in your life. Break the habit before it gets a hold of you. Do not be involved in those activities. Turn from it, flee from it, run from it. You've got all kinds of scriptures dealing with that. Something that we must do in order to put the new man on, we've got to get rid of the old man. Notice in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Here we find some more instructions concerning what we're to do in putting on the new man. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," that means if you're saved, born again, and your old man has been crucified, you've been raised in new life, "if you then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth." What are your desires? What are your wants? You can change your wants and your desires. Now, it didn't say that if you've been risen with Christ, those things which are above will come to you. No, you're to seek it. That means you are to seek those things of God's power, not man's ability. Man, what an opportunity we have to experience things that we cannot do. We can put on the new man, the new life, and seeking the things of God, and that can only be accomplished by God. In verse 3, "For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And so now, to put on the new man, we've got to put off the old man, the old way. So put on the new life, we must do this. And so keep your finger there in Colossians, or put a marker there. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. But turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It tells us what we're to do in putting on the new life, the new man, as we're calling it. The new you that can be there because of your new birth and being born again. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible tells us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, this is not something extraordinary for a Christian. For a child of God, this is not something that you achieve. This ought to be an automatic deal with you, something that you ought to be doing. It tells us that you're to present your bodies. It's not going to happen automatically, but it should be your normal way of living as a child of God. You're to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's to live that new life that God has given us. It's not going to be easy, but it is something you can accomplish by the power of God. And you can have in this. And this is your reasonable service. How do we do that? Well, we talked about putting off the old man, put on the new man. Now in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There are a number of things involved in that. Be not conformed to this world. The world wants to tell you what to say and how to say it, what language to use, as filthy as it might be and ungodly. The world will tell you how to dress, what styles you're to wear. The world will tell you how to look, how to act in dealing with others in this. You're not to be conformed to that. It's difficult today. I know a lot of people, and especially women and others, who are concerned about their dresses and would like to buy clothes that would be godly. But you go and look at what's available, and everything is according to the style of the world. And you can't buy things that you really would like to buy because they're just not available. It's not the style in that. And we're not to be conformed to this world. It's not an easy thing to do. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is always receiving things. Everything you see, what you hear is recorded in your mind. The things that you're involved with and your activities, that's all in your mind. You've got to renew that, because everything you have in this world is not of God. You've got to get in the Word of God. That's why it tells us that we're to teach by songs, and we're to sing hymns and spiritual songs. We're to read the Word of God. Don't read something else about the Word. Get into the Bible itself. And let God and let the Holy Spirit bring to your mind the scriptures that will explain the other scriptures. You need to renew your mind. Don't go the way of the world, but go that of God. We're to put on the new mind, or the new man that is God has for us. Now let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I told you to put a marker there or a finger there. In Colossians chapter 3. Now, people are always asking, well, what is God's will for my life? I'd like to know God's will. I want to do God's will for my life. I'll tell you something. God has put His will in the Word of God, things that you need to do and that He wants you to do. And if you'd get involved in those things, you wouldn't be asking, looking for something extraordinary out here. You'll find yourself right in the middle of God's will, simply obeying His Word. And that is His will. It is His will that we put on the new man. And He outlined just what He would have us to do in this. So let's look at this now in Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Oh, what would happen today if we start living this new life? With bowels of, that means with mercy, with compassion. Aware that you feel the pain of others. You feel the hurt of others. It's not a matter of pity. You know the fear that they have. You could feel that. And aware that you want to help them to overcome that through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're to put on the bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. What you want to put on is long suffering. You want to shorten that word long. When it uses the word long suffering, that word long goes on and on and on. Oh, to have long suffering. That's a new man. That's beneficial to all around you. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. We're to forgive because of what Jesus has done. And when we put on that new man, we're going to be involved in that type of forgiveness. And then in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Now, some translations want to translate that, put on love. The word charity gives a true meaning of what needs to be done in the new man. If we use the word love, then we could easily translate that. If you're good to me, I'll be good to you. If you love me, I'll love you. If you don't love me, I'm not going to love you. If you're not good to me, I'm not going to be good to you. That love can be based on works and not charity. Now, to be charitable, to put on charity means you're going to help someone and not expecting anything in return. Not even a thank you. Every now and then I'll have someone complain to me, well, I tried to help them and I didn't even get a thank you. Man, I did this and I did that for them and I didn't even get a thank you or even hardly a hello, you know, out of the thing. Well, that's not charity. Charity is where you want to help others and will help others where they're not going to thank you. They're not going to return anything. And to do it charitable, you're not to get anything in return for them. Now, that's kind of difficult. Not to do it, but to get others to let you help them by charity. I tell you, there's been times, and I'm still experiencing that today, where I tried to help some others, and I want to help them, and they want to say, well, let me pay you for it. No, I don't want any pay. I don't want anything. Just let me do this for you because God wants me to. And it's a gift from God. And so finally, after much arguments and dealing with it, they, okay, I'm not going to pay you. And they won't pay me. And then after a few weeks or so, next thing you know, I'll have a knock on the door and that person will be standing there with that, not with money, but they'll have some fruit. They've got to give something. They want to bring something, want to try to say thank you in a way or some benefit that is there. That takes away the charity. We're to love, we're to help others with charity. That means with nothing expected, nothing in return that is there. That's part of the new life. And man, the joy of putting on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. To put on the new man, you've got to be thankful. Thankful to God, thankful to others. Man, what a joy it is when someone comes up and says, thank you. And there's many people that we come in contact with that are performing services, whether it be a waitress, whether it be a person at a cashier, where you are doing business, or whatever else it might be. And they are pretty well frustrated by the end of the day. They've had all kinds of conflicts with people and those that they've been trying to help, and they're rude to them. Man, for somebody to walk up and say thank you with a smile, that means more to them than all the tips you could give them. Oh, how that as Christians, we're to put on the new man and be thankful. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The new man is involved in God's holy word. And how that as we are to put on the new man, we get rid of the old things and put on that which is new and that God would have us to do. And that's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. It's something that you work at daily, weekly. You work at it yearly, constantly training yourself to put on the new man and live in the new life instead of the old life. Now, I want to quit preaching and become personal. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians, the new life that we're to have and to live as a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, our attention normally in that verse is drawn to the fact that old things are passed away. Now, the other day, we've been in places where that we've seen old things. You can go to antique stores and you'll see the old things back that we remember when we were kids and that were used back then. And when we were in those old things, we were always looking for the new things. Even today, we're looking for new things. And centuries, if God delays the return of Christ, there'll be somebody looking at the old things that we don't want now and think it's great and very valuable in that. But here we find that in Christ, these old things are passed away, and then behold, all things become new. The joy, the excitement of seeing what is new. We look at a flower that we've seen over and over again. Now through Christ with a new person, that flower becomes new. We can see the creative power of God in it. We can see the beauty and all that God is doing there, of the marvelous pictures as he's painted in nature. And then people become new to us. You don't see a crumbled up individual that's deformed because of some disease. You see a precious soul that is there, conflict that is there. You see a heart of love that is there. All things become new. What we miss is the first part of this verse that we need to look at in putting on the new man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, to put on the new man, you must be in Christ. So the question comes, Are you in Christ? Didn't ask you, are you in church? Are you in Sunday school? Are you in Christ? It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I like the word creature because you see the new man is different, totally different from what is normal. It's different from the old man. It's different. It's peculiar to the world because we are different by the power of God. And we need to be different in that way, in showing love and compassion, showing concern for others, and being long-suffering and forgiving. Oh, the joy of this. Not only will you enjoy this, but those around you will enjoy it. Man, the joy of seeing a child of God in a new person. Man, what a joy it is to be around them. But to see a child of God that's still hanging on to the old man is horrible. And that's what most of them are. Still carrying grudges, still hating people, still prejudice, still going about and trying to stir up strife and division and all kinds of things going on. That's a horrible one to look at. But to see a child of God that's put on the new person, the joy, the excitement, the hope, the assurance that they have there, man, what a blessing it is. And where we need to be in Christ to be that new person, to put on and to be able to put on the new man. How do we do that? We've been talking about this week, the last two or three weeks, and we'll for the next couple of weeks, of getting people to know how to put on, how to be saved. You cannot put on the new man unless you're born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Very simple. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Do not prove the plan of salvation. Do not prove the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and raised again the third day. For a person to be born again, he must come by faith. He must make up his mind against all odds. I believe God's word. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God without any proof whatsoever. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was crucified for my sins without any proof whatsoever. I believe that he was buried. I remember as I was looking at the tomb of Christ in Israel, there are two tombs. In fact, now I think they've got three. And there's arguments as to which tomb is actually the tomb of Christ. It made me sing. It didn't make any difference which one. I know Jesus was buried and he was raised the third day, period. I believe that. I accept it by faith. I still believe it by faith. I don't need proof. We must come by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Salvation is not by works, it's by faith. We must present it and get a person to receive it by faith. And you know, if you don't have faith in it, no one else is going to have that faith. You must have complete faith, no doubt, no question whatsoever. Not proof, but faith. You made up your mind you're going to believe, you live in that belief, and that will spill over to those that you're dealing with. They must come by faith. Now, what do you believe? What is that faith? Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's so much involved in that. It's simple. We come by faith, and by that faith, we will confess not only our sins, but we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. He is God's only begotten Son. He is the Almighty. We're not to argue with him. We're not to debate with him. We are to obey him. I believe Jesus is Lord, Lord of all, and he's Lord of my life. That means I obey him. And so I do that by faith. And that is the Lord Jesus, not Confucius, not Mohammed. It is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. And that with the heart, I believe that God has raised him from the dead. And it says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Are you in Christ? If you are you putting on the new man, the new person? That's your decision. And that's what we need to do. That's God's will for your life. And that's a full-time job right there. To be able to put on the new life, you must have faith. Have faith in God. Believe him. And believe that Jesus died for you, was buried and raised again the third day. May we stand with every head bowed.